Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for Mark to be your spokesman today. Lord, we know that from the beginning of time that you planned this moment, that Mark would come forward and represent you today. Lord, I know he's been laboring and toiling with you, Holy Spirit. You've been working in this man as you've worked with mankind from the beginning of time. Thank you, Lord, that he's receptive. Lord, you have something prepared for every one of us. Your word today is not just singular, it's multi. And Lord, we know it's going to find mark after mark after mark. It will hit its place. Your word never comes back void or empty. It will accomplish its purpose to your glory for all eternity. In Jesus' holy name, Lord, we thank you. Fill this man in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Really excited about what I'm going to share with you today. Whenever I get a chance to share, what I like to do is just tell you what God's showing me in my life. And I don't want to, I want to start with a, not sure what to call it, but not an apology, but I just want to say, I'm not standing here telling you I've got this down. I'm just telling you this is what God's showing me. And so I don't want to make you feel like, hey, I got this, and this is where you need to get to. Hey, Doug, I might have you go ahead and show that. I was kind of trying to figure out exactly where I was going to incorporate. I've got a slide. You know, Bill preached a couple weeks ago, and he had a whole bunch of slides, and I had none. So I thought, this is not good. So I got this. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I'm an extremely intelligent, intellectual guy. And I get a lot of my inspiration from the comic strips, the part of the newspaper that I read. And Dilbert mentioned something this week that I had never heard about, and he used this term like you would know what it meant. So I thought, I better look this up, because I don't want to be completely illiterate. And the term is the Dunning-Kruger effect. I'd never heard of that before. But these guys, a couple of psychologists, and they came up with this study in the 1999, and they ended up getting a Nobel Prize for this, which I was pretty stunned at. But anyway, this graph, if you look at it, what they're doing here is they're showing us somebody's confidence level on this axis and somebody's knowledge of the topic on this axis. And what they're getting down to here is that when you don't know anything about something, right at the beginning, you're kind of, huh? And then somebody explains something to you, or God shows you something, and all of a sudden, wham, you're up at the I know everything stage. And it's because you don't know anything. Then you go through this process where you get to where, hey, you know what? There's more to this than I thought. And then you come down to the, I'm never going to understand this. And then as your knowledge of the field continues on, you get to the, it's starting to make sense. And later you get up to the, trust me, it's complicated. And you can take just about any topic, and this is exactly the stage that you go through. And I thought, this is the perfect, one of the things that God has really worked in my life on, because there's a huge problem there, it's actually two things, fear and pride. I mean, there's two sides to every road. The faith is the straight and narrow down the middle. You got fear on one side, which is, I'm never going to be able to do this even with God's help. Right down the middle in faith, you're at, with God all, on my own I can do nothing, but with God all things are possible. And then over in the pride area, you are, I can do this without God. So either ditch, you're in a bad wreck, but straight down the middle, that's what we're shooting for.
Amen.
Amen. But anyway, I just thought this is the perfect graph of exactly how our pride takes us as we go through anything. So I'm not sure what stage of this graph I'm on, but on faith or on any topic you want to go to, but I thought that was pretty interesting. All right. Joel, I don't know if you guys listen to Joel Osteen, but he always says, I want to start out with something kind of funny. He told this joke today about a lady that's sitting on an airplane, she's reading her Bible. The guy next to her says, you don't believe all that, do you? And she says, of course I believe it, it's the Bible, it's God's word. He said, you don't believe that part about that guy with that fish, do you? And she said, you mean Jonah, the guy that was swallowed? Yeah. How did he get by for 3 weeks in the fish, or 3 days in the fish? That's impossible. How can it, I mean, just, she goes, I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'll ask him. He goes, well, what if he's not there? She said, then you'll have to ask him. Oh, I thought that was pretty funny. All right. Well, hey, my goal today is to get you to think about how all in you are for God. And I feel like when we look at God, and we sang and praised God today, which what a wonderful time of worship that was. But everybody wants God as their savior, their provider, their healer. But do we want to do our part? What God wants us to be is all in with him, total surrender. And that is a place I don't think any of us ever get to, but that needs to be our goal. That needs to be where we're moving toward. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way. One time, Julie and I in our walk, we felt like we were at a place where, as we looked at Christianity, that if it was like, if you compared it to karate, we were white belts. And we thought, hey, if we ever want to get to be a yellow belt, we better either find somebody that is a yellow belt or find a black belt that's going to teach us. And I think there really are ranks in God's kingdom. And so I want to talk to you about one of the, I'm going to read a couple different scriptures. So if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to start out right now in, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to jump to Numbers 12 for just 1 second. So I'll start there and then I'm going to go to Joshua 1. If you want to stick a finger in there. There's a verse here if I can find it. There's a verse here even if I can't find it. It's it's Numbers 12:3. This is something that's kind of interesting here. Something else that I just ran across and I thought this is hilarious. My Bible is not opening to this page. This chapter starts out with Miriam and Aaron speaking against Moses, and they were upset with him because of his wife, and they start out in verse 2, it says, has not the Lord spoken, or has he only spoken through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? They're saying, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? But the next part's what I thought was really interesting. It says, and God heard it. Like there's something being done that God did not hear. But the interesting part is the next line says, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men on the face of the earth. Moses is the guy that wrote this. But anyway, Moses is probably one of the most Christ-like characters in the Bible. But what I want to talk about here is his rank. And I'm going to start in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And this is, it kind of tells you what's going on right from the start. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that is his title. That is his rank in the kingdom, the servant of the Lord. It came to pass, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. So his rank is Moses' assistant. Moses' rank is the servant of the Lord. And when God addresses him, the first thing he says is, Moses, my servant. That is what we want to hear. That is the rank. That is the rank we want to get to. Jesus said, when the disciples were talking about who's the greatest in the kingdom, he said, it's the one who serves. We want to be the greatest in the kingdom, but we don't necessarily want to serve. We don't want to surrender and be the servant. We want to be, and it's kind of interesting too, because Joshua, a couple chapters later, I talked about that the last time, when the angel of the Lord, or when Jesus Christ actually appears to Joshua, Joshua's kind of like, hey, are you on my team? And he's like, no, And Joshua even said, are you on my team or the enemy's team? No. God's asking us to be on his team. So we're going to be the servant. He's going to be the commander in chief. If you're a general in the military, you're the top rank, but you still report to the commander in chief, the president. So, and that's what it's interesting that they Jesus identified himself as the commander of the Lord's army. He's the commander in chief. Then the next guy down, the general, is the servant. So he's the guy that's serving the most. He's the most humble guy. He's the most dependent on God. Now, this next part is not a title we necessarily want. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them. If you remember, these guys could have gotten into the promised land with Moses as the leader, and they sent out the spies, the 12 spies. They look at the land. Joshua and Caleb are the two good spies. They're the two guys that come back and say, this is totally doable. We can take this land. We are ready to go. 10 other spies ended up saying, no, we're like grasshoppers. These guys are giants. We can never do this. We'll never be able to take the land. Those guys all end up dying in the wilderness. That's why when Moses dies, now Joshua's going to take him in. That's what the wait was for. That's what the 40-year wait was all about. Strangely enough, the descendants of those 10 spies, their descendants today run the 10 spies networks. The news, CNN, MSNBC. Nope, I'm not sure. Wait a minute. That's not. It's possible that's not true, but Andrew Womack does call it the 10 spies network. So I think that's where he's getting it. All right. So you and all this people are going into this land that I am giving them to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. I think the thing to see here is they've got this, but they've got a part to play in it. They've got to go out and they got to step on this ground. Where their foot steps, they're going to get it. And this is their promised land. This is our promised land. We got to get in here, though. We've got all these promises, but we got to get in there and step on them. If we don't, we don't even know they're ours. We're not going to get them just by accident. If this was easy, everybody would be doing it. That applies to so many situations. But man, on God's word, and I'm going to get to this in this scripture I'm going to get to after this one. We're going to go look at some stuff in Mark chapter 4. But let me go on here just for a couple more verses and just give you a little insight that I feel like God's shown me different things, and we'll move on from there. All right. So you're going to get all the land you step your feet on. From the wilderness of Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun. I thought that was really interesting phrasing. It's all going to be your territory. The going down of the sun. He could have just said west, but no. It's towards the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, the Mediterranean. Now this is what it looks like when you are the servant of God. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. If you look this up in the King Trump version, it says, you are going to be one bad hombre. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. These promises are for us also. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Remember, we talked about the right hand and the left. The right hand, or the left hand is fear, the right hand is pride. So you get off that road. That you may prosper wherever you go. This is, if we don't soak anything else in today, this is what I want you to get, is that you want to observe to do according to all that's in this law, and you're not going to turn from it to the right or the left, then you're going to prosper. A lot of times we want to do it the other way around. Jesus said in Matthew 6, I think it's 33, seek first the kingdom. We are so tempted to go seek whatever it is we need and come back to God's kingdom when we get in trouble. We're in trouble already. Go seek the kingdom. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should, and with that is, this phrasing, this the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, it sounds like you're not going to be saying it, but it's exactly the opposite. You're always going to be saying it. It's never going to stop coming out of your mouth. This is what you're going to talk about. This is the important thing in life. This is what you need to be focused on. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. Sounds a lot like the verse right above that. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I think a lot of times we're thinking, I want God to give me good success. I want God, you know, and he's saying, no, I've given it to you. You got to go get it. You got to get your foot on this. You got to go step on it. You got to walk this thing out. You got to do your part. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Amen. I love this. I got this. I want to read this other thing to you. I've got a little explanation at the top about the book of Joshua, and it's really interesting. There's a one line in here that really, I've got it underlined, and it says, victory comes through faith in God and obedience to his word rather than through military might or numerical superiority. I mean, it seems like that's the book of Joshua in one sentence. But that is so true in every area of our lives. Man, we got to have that faith in God and that obedience to his word. He's going to take care of the rest, and it doesn't matter how the situation looks. Amen. Amen. Carrie, I got to thank you for these lights. This is a life changer. All right, I'm going to flip over now. If you got your Bibles, let's go to Mark chapter 4. And I think this is going to be something you guys are familiar with. But this is an interesting, it's Jesus telling a parable. And it is a parable that we have probably all heard before. But it's interesting, after he tells them this, he tells them, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand anything else. So it seems like something we'd definitely want to understand. And this is an interesting point, too. If you've got a red-letter Bible, it's black, 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 and then chapter 4, verse 3, it starts out red. Jesus talking. The first thing he says, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it. It yielded no crop. But other fell on good ground, yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. When he's saying that, he's saying, listen up, guys. This is something you want to get. It's interesting because he started, you know, sometimes it's truly, truly, or verily, verily. You know, he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you to see what he's about to say. He starts out with that. He ends with it too. Critical. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. They said, and he said to them, to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. What a blessing. That is you guys. That is you. To you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, All things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. It sounds like what he's saying here is that I'm intentionally hiding this from people so that they won't get it. But it's exactly the opposite of what he's saying. What Jesus is saying here is, he's actually revealing something else about the kingdom of God. And it's that everything in the kingdom is hidden. But it's not hidden from you, it's hidden for you. If God wanted to give you a bunch of money, he couldn't just take a grocery sack and set it on the street in front of your house. Somebody else would find it before you did. It's got to be hidden, and then he's got to tell you where to go get it. And all of this works this way. And he's not trying to hide this from the world, but when he explains this parable, I think you're going to see why they're not perceiving, why they're not hearing, why they're not getting their sins forgiven. He goes on and says, and he said to them in verse 13, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" This is the parable of parables. This is the one that explains all the rest of them. The sower sows the word. So the seed in this parable is the word of God. Now, he doesn't tell you whether the sower is you or the sower is God, but it's both. God's going to sow his word, and then you're going to go sow his word. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside. The wayside is like the path. If you look at a field, the road going by is what he's talking about here. If you scatter the seed and some of it falls on the road, that's the wayside. Where the word is sown, when they hear, now they are hearing, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, so they're hearing also, immediately they receive it with gladness. These are the guys over here on the chart that have just gone to 100% confidence. And they have no root in themselves. So they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. We are seeing this time after time after time in our world right now, where people, sports heroes, rappers, whoever it is, they take a stand. And then the second persecution comes along, whoop, I'm retracting that. It's like they speak some wisdom, they speak something that's correct, they speak something that's right, and as soon as the world jumps up and starts yelling at them, boom, they retract it. That's not us. We're the ones that stick with it and double down. Amen. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So we got the cares of this world, and man, there are a lot of those. The deceitfulness of riches. What do you think that looks like? Have you ever thought, boy, if I just had enough money, my problems would be over? They wouldn't be. It's like, did you guys ever see the movie Forrest Gump? He gets the letter, Captain Dang reads the letter from Apple Computers. And he says, oh, Captain Dang invested in a fruit company and now we don't have to worry about money anymore. Well, that's just one less thing. That's what we think is going to happen. But and you can tell from the movie, that did not end his troubles. And the desire of other things. I think this is the not seeking the kingdom first. This is the, I got to go out and handle all this stuff, and then I'll get back to the kingdom. And it's choking out the word, it's over. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, I always assume that he's talking about when they're sowing, that they're sowing wheat, and that the one seed comes up with a head that has 30 grains, 60 grains, 100 grains. So great return on the wheat. But it's that way in every other way we sow God's word also. Now notice, my son Joseph is an Eagle Scout. And I have been to a lot of Eagle Scout ceremonies where they're giving you the award for being the Eagle Scout. And one of the things they always go through is this thing they call 1 in 100. 1 in 100 scouts becomes an Eagle Scout. And they go through and they talk about, hey, this guy came as a Cub Scout. He only went to one meeting, but still, when he's an adult, he'll say, oh yeah, Cub Scouts, that was a great thing. You know, and they go through all these different ones that did not make it to an Eagle Scout, but all the benefits the program's going to have in their life anyway. But you notice with Jesus, you got four groups here. He does not mention, hey, but these guys that got eaten, stolen away immediately, hey, the ones that fell on the stony ground and grew up too, hey, the ones that cares the world, choked it all out, but still they, no, there's no benefit to any of that. It's the one group at the end that he's saying, these are the ones that produce fruit. Now, what is this fruit? I really believe the fruit is the change in our lives. It's the areas where we're going, hey, this isn't right. I got to do this God's way. And then as we speak the word to other people, it's the change in their lives. That's what the fruit looks like. He also said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Now think here he's referring to himself. He's referring to the truth. He didn't come for this to all be hidden. He wants it out in the open. He wants us getting this. For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. I think he's going back to this idea that it's hidden for you. Seek this out. Listen up. This is the time to use the ears. And I'll tell you something else. All of these four groups, they all have ears. And in Romans it says that faith comes by hearing. So does fear, so does pride, so does everything else. It all comes from hearing. And all these guys heard. It's the heart that's going to make the difference. The heart is the soil. And you kind of, as you look at this, you think, well, hey, that, you know, boy, you sure hate to be the stony path, or you sure hate to be the path, or you sure hate to be the thorns, or, you know, in with the thorns. But I think we get to decide. We get to decide what kind of dirt we are. You know, God talks over and over again about above all things, guard your heart. The reason we got to guard our heart is because that's where that crop from God's word that's being sown is going to grow. We're going to get to decide, hey, am I listening? Am I seeking God out? Am I putting God first? Am I totally surrendered? Or, hey, if that's my mom, actually tell her I'll take it. Normally I'd say tell her I just left, I'm on my way home, but... Okay, so we're listening, we're deciding what kind of soil our heart is. Are we going to decide our heart is good soil? And it's actually more than a decision too, because it's going to take action. We're going to have to be seeking God out. We're going to have to be putting His word first in our lives. We're going to have to be seeking His ways and doing things His ways. It's not just, hey, you know what? I mean... Right over here on the first part with no knowledge, that's the, yeah, I'm all in. I'm totally surrendered. Okay. All right, so we're back to, if anyone has ears, let him hear. Then he said to him, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But to whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So we're going to guard how we hear. We're going to take heed how we hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, we can be digging with a spoon, or we can be digging with a shovel, or we can be digging with a backhoe, or we can be digging with a land mover. I think some of these guys back here that got taken away pretty quickly may have been digging with a spoon, just mildly amused when they hear the Word of God. Or we can be all in. But whatever we, however we use, whatever measure we're using, our results are going to be directly related to the size of that measure. Here again, you get to decide, what measure are you going to use? What are you going to dig in God's Word with? He said to them, the kingdom of God is as if a man, that's easy for me to say, should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself doesn't know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I thought this was really interesting from the standpoint that you don't even have to understand how this all works. You just got to believe God and scatter the seed. There's going to be all kinds of stuff that happens that we don't necessarily understand, but then you're going to see the fruit. And it's going to be a three-step process too. It starts with the blade, then the head, then the full grain. If you harvest any time before you got the full grain, it's over. You're going to get really nothing. You're going to have gone to the trouble, but you're not going to have seen the results. But when it ripens, that's when you put the sickle in and take the harvest. Another thing I wanted to say about this was, if you look at the seed that falls on the stony ground, the seed that falls on the path, the seed that falls in the thorns, the problem is it's not getting down into the ground. There's got to be some conflict with that seed for it to grow. If it falls on the ground, the birds eat it. If it just gets barely in there, it springs up, but it dies because it doesn't have any root. You know, if it gets choked out, same thing. It's a process that you're back to deciding, am I going to let this soak in? Am I going to stick with this? Am I going the distance? And it reminds me of if you guys know who Lance Armstrong is, the bike rider, he's quoted as saying that pain lasts for a season. It could be a minute, could be a month, it could be a year, it could be a decade. But the pain will eventually go away. But if you quit, that lasts forever. And I feel like that's kind of what the deal is with that seed. You know, if you plant it, you know, you can't give up because it's not coming to the surface yet. You got to wait. And you can't give up when it's just a blade. And you can't give up when it's got the head but there's no grain. You got to wait. And there's going to be some pain involved. There always is. But you're going to receive the victory because you wait. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all other seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air nest under its shade. And that is the seed of the Word of God. That is the one that's the least. If you look at how the world looks at things, God's Word is the least important thing there is. Our society would like to eliminate it completely, but it is the most important thing. It's going to grow to be the biggest thing. We're going to live on this earth for a certain number of years, and after that, it isn't going to make one bit of difference what happened here, except how our heart was, how our soil of our heart received God's Word. It is going to be the only thing that matters in eternity. This is the thing we want to get right. We want to get a lot of other stuff right too, but this is the key. This is the thing. Amen. So, are we going to do what God has asked us to do and seek Him out completely, or are we going to seek Him out half-heartedly? So God wants us to hear. He's given us what we need to hear. Now it's a matter of how we hear. Are we going to be His disciple? Are we going to be His servant? Are we going to be completely surrendered to Him? That's what He's asking for, and what that's going to look like is us taking His Word and then doing it. Keith Moore talks a lot about that we are not hearers only. We are doers of the Word. And there's a big difference because every one of these four groups heard the Word, but only one group got any results at all. That's us. We're not just the hearers. We are the doers. Amen?
Amen.
Are we all in?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys letting me take some time to share God's Word with you. It's been a pleasure. I always love to talk to you, and I just want to encourage you all in your faith. I want to encourage you all, move in with God. I feel like in my life, so often, I have sought what I was seeking without seeking first the kingdom. And man, what a time waster. I mean, we can make that time in the ground a lot longer than it needs to be by not seeking Him first, not getting the results He wants for us because we're not going His way. We want to get in line with God. We want to be His servant, but we want Him to be the commander in chief. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.